Picture a fifth grader who can decode every word in a passage about the Civil War, but has no idea what she just read. She sounds fluent, hits every syllable correctly, yet when asked what happened at Gettysburg, she draws a blank. This isn't a reading problem, it's a knowledge problem, and it's happening in classrooms across America right now. For decades, we've operated under a seductive myth that reading is a transferable skill, like riding a bike. Master finding the main idea or making inferences, and you can apply these tools to any text. Schools have built entire curricula around this belief, spending billions on programs that teach children how to read without giving them anything meaningful to read about. The result? Students who can technically read but can't actually comprehend. The achievement gap between wealthy and poor students isn't closing, it's widening, and the reason has been hiding in plain sight. Walk through any American elementary school and you'll see children grouped by reading level, rotating through stations, practicing abstract comprehension strategies on disconnected texts. Monday, it's penguins. Tuesday, the Titanic. Wednesday, volcanoes. The content doesn't matter, teachers are told. The thinking skills are what count. A typical third grade schedule reveals the problem. 120 minutes for reading instruction, 20 minutes each for science and social studies. In high poverty schools, history and science often vanish entirely, swallowed by endless literacy blocks. The logic seems sound. If students can't read, how can they learn anything else? But this reasoning has the cause and effect backwards. This skills obsession hits disadvantaged students hardest. In high-poverty schools, 91% of students receive repetitive basic skills instruction compared to just 50% in middle-class schools. Meanwhile, wealthier students accumulate knowledge through museum visits, travel, and dinner conversations, making reading comprehension feel effortless. Despite this intense focus on reading skills, about 80% of low-income students score below proficient in reading compared to 50% of higher-income peers. Many students struggle not because they lack skills, but because they lack the background knowledge to make sense of what they're reading. A landmark 1987 study demolished the skills-focused approach. Researchers divided students into good and poor readers, then had them read about baseball. The results stunned educators. Students who knew baseball comprehended better than good readers without that knowledge, regardless of reading level. Another experiment tested preschoolers on birds. Wealthier children performed better, until researchers asked about made-up creatures called wugs. When background knowledge was equalized, so was understanding. These studies reveal an uncomfortable truth. Reading ability is largely an illusion. While decoding requires explicit instruction, comprehension depends fundamentally on what you already know. Without sufficient background knowledge, students can't absorb information, make predictions, or draw conclusions. Think about reading a legal contract versus a novel set in your hometown. The contract might use simpler vocabulary, but you'll struggle without legal knowledge. The novel might contain complex sentences, but familiarity makes comprehension effortless. France learned this lesson the hard way. After abandoning their content-focused curriculum for a skills approach in the 1980s, achievement plummeted, especially among disadvantaged students. The knowledge gap isn't inevitable, it's the predictable result of misguided teaching practices. For decades, American education has been torn between whole language advocates prioritizing meaning-making and phonics proponents demanding systematic sound letter instruction. Despite research supporting phonics, many educators resist, a resistance rooted in politics as much as pedagogy. The debate turned tribal through the 1980s and 90s, with phonics coded as conservative and whole language as progressive. When California adopted whole language in 1987, reading scores plummeted. The state quietly returned to phonics, but the damage lingered. By 2003, balanced literacy emerged as education's compromise, supposedly blending phonics with rich literature. Critics saw it as whole language rebranded, still prioritizing process over content. Lucy Calkins became balanced literacy's prophet. Her curriculum adopted nationwide. Her units of study teaches comprehension skills abstractly, assuming they transfer universally. Despite rejecting scripted instruction, her approach often feels rigid to teachers. Balanced Literacy Adopted Reading Comprehension Strategies from P. David Pearson's research. Ironically, since Pearson himself doubted teaching comprehension directly and advocated building knowledge instead. Teachers enthusiastically taught students to activate schema, make connections, and monitor comprehension. Classroom observations reveal troubling patterns. Second graders identified topics by counting repeated words, while teachers glossed over crucial geographic terms. Fifth graders fixated on a scientist's smile in a photograph, missing opportunities to learn about scientific methodology or marine biology. Joel Klein's tenure as New York City Schools Chancellor offers compelling evidence. When 8th grade reading scores stagnated despite 4th grade improvements, he tested E.D. Hirsch Jr.'s knowledge-building approach. Students in core knowledge schools significantly outperformed peers in balanced literacy programs. Most concerning is balanced literacy's failure to reduce achievement gaps, its central promise. After 3 decades, gaps persist as Common Core standards emphasize complex nonfiction requiring strong background knowledge. The approach maintains popularity despite never undergoing rigorous independent evaluation. Writing proves far more difficult than reading because it's expressive rather than receptive. Unlike speaking, which allows fragments and immediate feedback, writing demands precision, organization, and anticipation of readers' needs while juggling mechanics, spelling, word choice, and structure simultaneously. Judith Hochman discovered in the late 1970s that writing needed explicit, sequential instruction beginning at the sentence level. She realized written English is a second language, requiring direct teaching. Hochman developed sentence-level strategies, using question words to expand sentences, providing stems with conjunctions like because and although, teaching appositives and combining. When applied to content students were studying, their writing became richer and comprehension deeper. When mechanics aren't overwhelming and students possess sufficient knowledge, writing becomes our most powerful teaching tool. Writing assignments reveal comprehension gaps, while retrieval practice lodges information in long-term memory. The protege effect deepens understanding when students teach material through writing. 2 major approaches emerged: Hochman's sentence-based method versus Calkins's writer's workshop. Calkins encourages flash drafting and expects students to absorb skills through mentor texts, limiting children to personal experiences, their small moments. Hochman starts with mastering sentences before moving to essays, showing how writing can simultaneously teach content knowledge and writing skills. Lisa Delpit argues Calkins's approach particularly disadvantages minority students who aren't explicitly taught the rules they're later held accountable for knowing. Sarah Webb's 4th grade classroom in a low-income Ohio district demonstrates what's achievable. When her school piloted Wit and Wisdom, a content-rich curriculum, her students retained complex information, drew sophisticated connections, and developed genuine curiosity. Matt, previously resigned to the dumb group, became a classroom leader. His year-end letter declaring reading was not a struggle anymore reflected both academic growth and newfound confidence. Promising developments offer hope. In Tennessee, 12 districts in the LIFT network are piloting content-rich curricula with remarkable results. Louisiana has embarked on ambitious statewide transformation, creating 5,000 teacher leaders as ambassadors and experimenting with innovative assessments, testing what students have actually been taught. The current high-stakes testing environment remains a significant obstacle, forcing schools to narrow curricula while driving talented educators from the profession. A better approach? Test decoding skills in lower grades while replacing generic reading tests with transparent, content-specific assessments in history, science, and literature. The knowledge gap between advantaged and disadvantaged students isn't immutable. It's the direct result of prioritizing skills over content. The solution isn't more worksheets or test prep. It's simpler and more radical. Teach children about the world, its history, science, and stories, and watch comprehension follow. Knowledge isn't just power. In education, knowledge is reading itself.